touched this bracha.
I haven't.
Why are you touching me?
Okay. Oh, that's a good start. Whenever you have that in the start of a shir, you know, it's like, you know it's going to be a good shir. Why are you touching me? This is the bracha that Moshe gave, the man of God, to Bnei Yisrael before his death. Lots of questions you could ask over here. Number one, why is Moshe known as Yisrael? It came only over here. Man of God, only in this place over here. Number two, why is it Lifnei Moso? He only gave them a bracha before his death, but he didn't give them a bracha before this. Number three, what's Vizos? What is the word Vizos? It should be Vizab bracha. Vizos bracha is supposed to be feminine, but it's not necessarily. We can't go into that right now because my diktuk is not exactly the best in the world. But the Paris Yosef says that Zos is a remnant to a ton of things. Vizos, Torah, Shir, So Moshe, Lifnei Yisrael, Yashem. Yes. I was expecting everybody to join in with me, but I guess that wasn't happening tonight. We'll do that later, guys. We'll do that later next time. There you go. But it's a little late. So either way, the Zos is in front of the Torah. Now, what is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Bnei Yisrael? The bracha is the Torah. The Torah that we got, and that's the main bracha. That's a cute shot. But to add on to that a little bit, Bizos Yavo Aaron al Kodesh. With this, Aaron came into the Beis Mikdash, came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's this? What's the Zos? With what did he come in? So Zos is the Gematria 408. So we all say that what is Mavir in his Roa as Roa HaGezerah?
All
of them. Still in my head. It's in Skokie. By the way, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening here does not compare to any other davening. I've been to a ton of davenings around the world. There's nothing like Skokie's davening on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm just telling you that right now. But either way, I'm reminiscing. I remember being back here for Rosh Hashanah. One of the most powerful things is during Unisana Tokyo from Rabbi Eisenberg, who possibly has the most powerful voice I've ever heard before in my life, yells out, Uteshuvo, Tfilu Tzedakah. You feel like the world is shaking. You feel like the world is just like there's a huge earthquake underneath you, and you're just like, and then you realize you're supposed to say it out loud also. But Uteshuvo, Tfilu Tzedakah, my viewers were all there. They say other words for it.
Psalm,
Kol,
and Mamon.
Psalm is fast. Fasting, that's tshuva. Kol is tefillah, that's saying out loud. And mammon is money for tzedakah. Those three happen to be. It is a marsha. Very good. Psalm, kol, and mammon, all of the gematria of 136. 136 times 3.
408.
For those mathematicians, there's 408. For those people taking the SATs a little bit later on today. 408 is the gematria of Zos. The Zos of Aaron HaKodesh. How is Aaron going to come to the Beis HaMikdash? He's going to come with psalm, kol, and mammon. Do that schus, he's going to be able to do something in the Beis HaMikdash. This is really annoying. But through that, he'll be able to come into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Zos HaBracha Shebarach Moshe Yisholim. I just heard a schmooze. I go to a place called Beis Ushi's on Thursday night right before I come to Skokie. It's a place with a bunch of guys who, unfortunately, are not exact. They're not on the straight and narrow, I guess you can say. And they're trying to get themselves back on. And I just heard a speech tonight from the Mashgiach of Tel's Yeshiva and also the Rabbi of the Adas. His name is, I'm blanking on his name, and that's really bothering me, Rabbi Newman, Rabbi Benjamin Newman. I have the same name, but Rabbi Newman from Tel's, he said over tonight, he said the greatest gift that Bnei Yisrael ever had was the Torah. Second greatest gift, in his opinion, that Bnei Yisrael ever got was Yom Kippur, to be able to take away all our sins, to be able to have a day where we lose all our sins. There's never been a gift like that. That was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Bnei Yisrael. Number one is Torah. Torah was that first bracha that he gave. Number two was tshuva, tefilu tzedakah, to get all those things to be mavir nisroa gzera. That Zos bracha sheberach Moshe Yisholkim es Bnei Yisrael lefnei Moshe. That was the bracha that he gave them. He gave them that bracha of Zos, the Zos to be able to take care of everything. But there's another shot. Yaakov Ruvani says that Yisrael Elohim is referring to somebody else entirely. He's referring to a malach. There's a special malach who is in charge of Ador. In every month, there's a special malach who's in charge. His name is Avarki. I can't say his whole name because you're not supposed to say the full name of malachim that we don't name our kids after, like Michal, Rafal, Gabriel are all good. But a malach by the name of Avarki, whose last name is El, you say that name, he is the malach of bracha. He has 25 myriads of malachim that are underneath him that give tons of bracha to Klal Yisrael to anybody else who calls out in his name. And Moshe Rabbeinu happened to have a little bit of a connection from him when he went up to Shemayim to go get the Torah. So because of that, he came down and he brought that Yishua Elohim, he brought that malach named Avarki, he brought him down to give bracha over to Klal Yisrael. And thus, Yishua Elohim has been Yisrael Lifnei Moso. Why was it Lifnei Moso? And to end off with this, hold on, the Lifnei Moso is supposed to be that the Satan would never let him give a bracha. Never let Moshe Rabbeinu give a bracha. Because if he knew that anything that Moshe Rabbeinu said would automatically happen. Meaning, if he would say, you know, just Paul, you should never sin for the rest of your life. Those words are miskayim. There's no way you're ever going to be able to do a sin for the rest of your life. A bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth is never going to be thrown off. It can't be, because Moshe Rabbeinu's word was his real word. There's nothing that can happen after that. It's because of that, the Satan would never let him make a bracha. Only before his death did he force the Satan to be able to let him make a bracha. Can anybody tell me, a little bit of a quiz, the only time when Moshe Rabbeinu was able to give bracha, he did it three times, he was able to give a bracha, but he did it without words. When did he do it? Happened three times without words. It wasn't a bracha.
He gave it to Paro?
First time he did Berakas Aharon in Mishkan.
That's very, very good, but that was Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu was masking to the bracha, the Gemara says, but Aaron was the one who got up and turned around and did it for the first time, and that's why Kohanim get it, not Levium. Kohanim do it for not Levium, because it was his idea to do it in the first place. Although Moshe Rabbeinu did give a bracha at the very end, you see, Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shechina Al Ma'asecha. Although I wouldn't call that a real bracha, that was just a Yehi Ratzon that the Shechina should apply on all of your Meisim. It's not exactly a bracha. What?
Gave to
without words.
Without words. Yeah. So what happened? When they counted Bnei Yisrael, the Rishonim say, this is Dasakenim, the Rosh, the Panachraza, the Chizkuni, they all quote down, that when Bnei Yisrael walked by and gave their Chatzi Shekel, Moshe and Aaron looked at them. It's like, hey, how you doing? I'm all good. Good to hear. Hey, haven't seen you in a while, Sammy. Looking good. Sharp. That's the reason why? Because everybody had to check out everybody's going by and like say hi as they were walking by? Of course not. The reason why is because you put their eyes on them. And just like a person can give an ayin hara to somebody, you guys have heard of an ayin hara, right? It's also something called an ayin tov. We never talk about that ayin tov. It's the exact opposite way. The way to give an ayin hara, we'll talk about this eventually by Bullock. But ayin hara, you're supposed to close your right eye and you're supposed to only look at the guy and only look at the guy's sins, think of something bad that the guy did. Whatever. There's a whole process to it. To give an ayin tov, you close your left eye and you only look with your right eye and you think of something good that the guy did and you stare at him, you're able to give him an ayin tov. Moshe Rabbeinu did that and gave them brachos without speaking any words. It's an unbelievable thing. Okay, but either way, this is an actual bracha that he gave them and he only gave it to them with Nemoso.
I don't need your bracha, Jeremy. Please.
Yeah.
You're such a crackhead. What's wrong with you?
Oh, right. Why can't you say the
Malachim's names? There's something called being Mashpia the Malachim. You swear the Malachim to come down. By saying their names, you want them to come down. By Michal, Gavriel, Raphael, or Uriel, any other Malach, that their names were used for regular people, so it doesn't apply to them. To be Mashpia them, you need to say something else. But by certain Malachim, like Akasri, or Sandal, or Metat, I'm not saying their full names. Anybody like that, then yeah, in order to bring them down, you just say their names, and they can come right down. Someone and if they see that you're not doing something good when you're saying their name, then they will punish you. And you don't want to be punished by these malachim. So it's from the Arizal. A lot of people are not makbid about this. I happen to be makbid about this because I'm makbid about a lot of strange things that people aren't makbid about. So this is one of my things that I'm makbid about. I try not to say. So to the Sam. Sultan is also known as Sam. El. Sam El is his name, but I'm not pronouncing it correctly. But it's Sam and then El. You're not supposed to say that full name. I remember it's in the Gemara Makos. If anybody looks at it, it's in the Gemara Makos. I remember when we got up to it, I had a guy who was just like, oh, I said over the name like 15 times in a row. He made a song to it and everything. He's like, Sama. like a holding song. And I'm just like, that's probably not the best thing. Either way, regardless, I'm going to tell you guys, this Rashi doesn't make any, to me, it seems so strange. How could he have said such a thing? Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, Misinai Bav, Izarach Miser Lomo, Biofia Mehar Paran. Rashi says, Shapasach Lebnei Ser, Shei Kabbalah Satorah Velo Ratsu. He went to Bnei Ser, he said to Esav, do you guys want the Torah? What do they say?
No.
He went to Bnei Yishmael, and he said to them, do you guys want the Torah? What do they say?
No.
No, absolutely not. Why? He went to Bnei Esav, and he said to them, do you want to keep the Torah? What do they say? They said, what's written in it? She said, oh, it says Lo Sirtzach.
You better take her, I'm killing you.
Well, we're on to murder. Every single person in Esav into murder. Either we can't accept the Torah. They went to Bnei Yishmael, they said to Yishmael, look, do you want to keep the Torah? They said, what's in it? They said, don't steal. They said, our whole lives are based on stealing. There's no way we're going to be able to keep it, so forget it, we're not going to keep the Torah. Good question. The Kadosh Baruch Hu knew they really didn't want to keep it, so he told them in order to get around, you know, so they wouldn't say, like, well, maybe, whatever. He knew they weren't going to like it, so he gave it to them. But first, when did he ask them this? Did God go to every nation? Don't you think the nations would say, God appeared to us today? Like somebody's diary, I don't know.
Other question.
Wednesday, you know, I don't know, off that other Aleph. I don't know, what is it? It's going to be like, you know, let's just say, like, Zion Other, you know, like,
Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me today. He asked me if I would keep the Torah. I said, no thank you. I appreciate it, but no thanks God.
Oh, what does that mean? How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu appear to them and them not accept it? How could they not accept it? Yeah.
I have a question. How come it doesn't say in the Pasuk that he didn't go to all 70 nations?
It's a good question. Why are we only Meramis to Yisrael and Esav? Yes. We're not Meramis to the other 68 nations. The answer is based on a grow. I'm sure people have seen this before. Yisrael and Esav are in charge of two major nations. In other words, there's 35 nations on one side, 35 nations on the other. Yisrael is in charge of one, Esav is in charge of the other. So because of that, they're number 35 in each one, whatever it is. So therefore, when we say Yisrael and Esav, it does mean all the nations in between. It's just that Esav is in charge of those people. Yisrael is in charge of those people, and they're separated from one another. And thus, the whole point of them is to try to get together and try to bring everything together. That's why in Sukkot, that's coming up to us, we might as well say, the Korbanos are all switched off. You guys know how many Korbanos you bring?
Seven.
Goes from, what's the most? 13 to 7, right? So there's a whole thing that by some of them it says the word Seir, and some of them it says the word Seir Izim. So they say that Seir always refers to Seir, which is Esav, and Seir Izim always refers to Ez, always refers to Yishmal. It's a whole remez for it. So it says Seir by 13, 12, and 10. And it says Seir Izim by 11, 9, 8, and 7. And they ask why. And the Gra answer is because 13, 12, and 10 is 13 plus 12 is... 25 plus 10?
35.
And then there you have, let's just do it the other way, 11 plus 9?
20.
Plus 8?
28.
Plus 7?
35.
So it's both 35. So you have 35 that are referring to Seir Izim and 35 that go with Seir. So there are 35 that go to Esav and 35 that go to Yishmal. So it takes care of the 70 nations and everything. So it's Yishmal and it's Esav. I mean, that's the real answer. But what you're asking is a harsh... You're asking a better question than that. I didn't want to... Whatever. That's not the real answer to the question. Anyway, but the question is, I don't understand it. How could they not have accepted it? So I have four answers. Number one, it was given... The famous answer is from Midrashim. It's from Bereishis Rabba. It's also brought down in Yisrael. In the Midrash Rabbah and Yisro Shmos Rabbah, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went before time started to the concept of the nations and said, like, I know this is going to be the nation later on, and asked them, do you want to keep the Torah? They said no. Went to the Jews, and the Jews said yeah. And therefore, the whole rest of the world was based on that acceptance of the Jews of the Torah. But it was done way, way, way beforehand. That was done way beforehand. That's one opinion. It's a very hard opinion to understand, because what does that mean, before time? It's just, it's very hard to understand. What does that mean? Yeah, because you have to say, the same question applies. And how do they know what their tachlis in the world was? Not to get the Torah. It seems very, very strange. Second opinion is from Taimi Minhagim page Reish Pei Beis, the Levium were sent out. Levium. All Levium went to different places. A Levi went that way, a Levi went that way, a Levi went that way, and they went to all these different places, and they asked all the questions, and they asked everybody else. There is another opinion brought down by the Psikta, Psikta Rabbosi. It's a type of Medrash, in which it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to every nation. He just like appeared in front of everybody. He's like, hey, I'm here. And he said to everybody, you know, do you want to accept the Torah? And they all said no. And they all said no to what Moshe Rabbeinu said.
But the Ben Ishchai... Those answers are based on the fact that it wasn't really God coming to
them. There wasn't really a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Ben Ishchai said it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he didn't go to them. He went to the Sarim in Shemayim, their Malachim in Shemayim. Which the Ben Ishchai says, but then the people never got to choose. How come you went to the Malachim? The Ben Ishchai says, awesome answer. You had to go to the Malachim. You couldn't go down to the people. Because let's say the people would have said, we accept the Torah. We accept the Torah. And the Malachim up above said, we don't accept the Torah. They're Malach. In other words, Yishmal. Everybody from Yishmal says, we accept the Torah. And Rahav, the Malach of Yishmal, who's up above, says, I don't accept the Torah. Let's say that would have happened. Rahav would have said, absolutely not, I'm not accepting the Torah. If Bnei Yishmal would have sinned and not done the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu would want to destroy them. So what do you have to do when you destroy people? You got to destroy their Malach first. So you have to destroy their Malach. So he goes up to Rahav and says, you're dead because you didn't keep the Torah. Says Rahav, I never accepted the Torah. I never accepted it. They accepted the Torah. So you can't kill me for it. And if you can't kill me, you can't kill my people. So Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't go to the people. It wouldn't do anything. He had to go to the Malachim instead. So he asked the Malach of the nation. And the Malach of the nation said back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, my whole nation is based on murder. Esav, Al Harba Chatichia, the Bracha of Yaakov Avinu is based on murder. I can't go against that. He asked Yishmal. And the Malach of Yishmal said, what am I supposed to do? My whole nation is based on Geneva. My whole nation is going to be based on that. That's what Yishmal is all about. Well, how can I possibly go against that? There's nothing that I can do. I'm sorry, but I can't go against it. So the Malachim knew that they couldn't go against such things. Yeah.
But the Jews don't have an actual angel. Hashem represents
himself. Exactly. So by Bnei Yisrael, he had to ask us. Because we don't have a Malach. And that's why by us, we were asked ourselves. And what did we say back? Naseh v'nishma. But what? Yeah.
So
I have a question. Isn't a person? Isn't like a medrash or something that says that he offered that when he offered it that what the heck was I going to say?
I don't know. I can't help you on that.
That he said that he's that the Malachim said, how come you didn't give us the Torah because he said we would accept it.
They said that later on. You're right. The Lashon in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis and Beis and Gimel and Aleph is that the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, if you would have given us the same chances that you gave the Jews, we also would have accepted Torah. You forced Targigas upon Bnei Yisrael. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had you told me Nasa Manishma in the beginning, I would have forced Targigas upon you. I would have forced the Har. I would have put the Har on top of you like that. But you didn't do that.
All the Malachim. All the Malachim were like that. Yeah, all of them were like that. Even some, everybody was like that. Yeah.
Why, before we accepted the Torah and became God's chosen people, did we not have a representative angel?
That's a very good question. Michal backed off. There's a whole... that's a good question. I'm not going to answer that right now, only because it's too complicated for me to answer, and that would take a lot of Yalkut Ruvenis, and I don't have them on me right now, but it's a good question. Just understand that is a very good question. We had to have Gabriel also. Anyway, but let me ask you a question. Shavim Mitzvot B'nei Noach, does anybody happen to know them by heart?
Yeah.
What are they?
Abram and Achai.
Birchas Hashem. Cursing God. Don't steal.
Dinim.
You have to set up court cases.
Gilirayas.
Shifchas Damim.
Shifchas Damim. Avodah Zarah. They couldn't murder. They couldn't steal anyway. What are they saying? Oh, we can't accept it. It says don't murder. We have to murder. You can't murder anyway. God should look right back at them and say to them, oh, I'm sorry, guys, but I might as well kill you now then, because nobody's for you to be in the world, because you have to keep this anyway. When they said, oh, I can't steal. Oh, man, how am I going to be able to live? Forget it. I don't want the Torah. God should say to them, okay, then don't go into the world. I can't allow you to steal or murder anyway. What kind of a taino is that? What kind of a claim was that? So there are a lot of answers to this. I'm sure you guys could come up with an answer on your own. I heard four different answers. When I asked it to a bunch of guys earlier today, I got four different answers for the question. You can think about it. If you think about it, you'll think, oh, it does make sense. But here's an answer.
The best one.
A good answer is like this. I don't know if it's the best answer. Yeah, it's the best answer. It's one that I made up. So I ended up finding out that Rezweig said the same thing. But Rezweig also said 23 other answers. So, I'm sure Rezweig said this is the best one. But the answer that I came up with is like this. The answer is very simple. There's a difference between the whole world resting on your shoulders and just being another guy in the world. Can you imagine? The Torah is based on you. You know you're going to mess up. You know you're going to mess up. And if you mess up, the world is destroyed. Stinks to be me. It would really stink to be me. Meanwhile, if the world is going to exist anyway, okay, I'm just not going to get Olam Haba. I'm not going to get the world to come. Okay, at least I get Olam Haza. If I accept the Torah, I'm going to destroy the world. I don't get my Olam Hazeh. I don't get my Olam Haba. That's a pretty cruddy life. But if I don't accept the Torah, then I might lose out on my Olam Haba, but at least I get my Olam Hazeh. So what the Goyim were thinking was, I'll get one thing and not the other. They accepted it for this world. They said, we don't want the Torah. We'll accept the Shevet Mitzvot B'nei Noach. We know we're going to mess up, but at least we'll get this world. We'll get Olam Hazeh instead of Olam Haba. We'll get something out of it. Let the Jews take the Torah. Let them get the Torah. Let somebody else get the Torah. They'll take the Torah. They'll make the world exist. And as long as the world exists, I'm fine. Because I got this world and everything's all good. That's a very, very cool answer. But think about it. You'll come up with your own answers. But there's so much more. So you know what they got? They got Nasa and Nishma. Nasa and Nishma, the words that Ben Israel said, that's what went over to Yishmael and Esav. Look at their names. What's Esav? Nasa. What do they do? They are doers. These guys are accomplishers. You know what they've done? They build buildings. They make beauty. They created all of Europe. They made all of Europe and everything. Greece, Rome, everything. They were the conquerors. They were the guys who were in charge of the people who are in America right now. They're the ones who make everything. That's the Nasa. But their Semitism, their religion, doesn't make much sense. I'll just purge yourself. Just go in there, just do a couple Holy Hail Marys and give me $100 and you're fine. That's a great religion, but it doesn't make any sense. Meanwhile, there's also Yishmael. Yishmael is Nishma. Yishmael, that God will listen to anything I say. Their whole religion is based on God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that, and I will listen to him. And they'll do anything. They'll kill themselves for their religion. They'll kill themselves for God. Yishmael got the Nishma. Esav got the Nasa. And it was given to them as a gift in this world. But their Olam Haba?
when they get up there and like, I'm looking for seven women.
70 white raisins.
Yeah, it's not. That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. Can you imagine, like, the malachim up there? They're just sitting there, like, hi. My name is Abdul Mahmoud Raif. I believe that I'm supposed to get a certain amount of women up here. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Do you mind stepping over there just a little bit to the left? A little bit to the left. Like, oh, we'll see y'all. Like, it's gonna be. I wish I could be those malachim. That's Nasa and that's Nishma. They got it in this world, and thus the religion makes a little bit more sense. The only thing that's why they have no accomplishments. The only thing they ever did was give us algebra. That's what they did. And thanks a lot for that one. You know, but like that's all that they did. They didn't do anything else more. That's all they did. Nothing else. All right. What if some of them did want it? Let's say there was a guy out there who was sitting among everybody else and was saying like, I really want it. All right. And I mean, seriously, but what happened to that guy? That guy's sitting there, and he's like, I want to accept the Torah. That one little guy who's sitting there, like, you know, and he's calling out. But yeah, that guy who says, I want the Torah. I want all 613. I don't want the 7. I don't want to be a little Nebuch who gets like 7. I want 613. What about that guy? What happened to him? And what about, did every single Jew, all 3.6 million Jews plus 2.4 million Arab, every single one of them said Nasa V'Nishma?
No.
There's not one Jew who sat there and was like, can I think about this for a couple minutes, God? I mean, yeah, we know the pasuk says they all yelled out Nasa V'Nishma. Even Dasan Vaviram, even all the B'nai Korach, everybody called out and said Nasa V'Nishma. Everybody said Nasa V'Nishma. They were all
million?
That high of a level that 40 days later, 40 days after they left, after they saw, I mean, I realize there's such tremendous miracles. But to be on the level to say Nasa V'Nishma, they were all on that level, the Maserans and everything, they're all, but still they were on that level to be able to say Nasa V'Nishma, that's unbelievable. So, unbelievable Rabbi Kivager. Listen to this question. Only Rabbi Kivager can ask this question. Why is it that when a Jew goes off the derech and becomes a Christian, he always hates the Jews? Hates them. And he always finds ways to get them in trouble, to tell on them, to say certain things, whatever it is, blood libels and this and that and whatever, and always tries to debate them and everything like that. Hates the Jews that he came from. But when a Christian becomes a Jew, they don't care about the Christians. They have no qualms against Christians. There's no, like, Jews who are like, oh, the Christians, they're all wrong, let's start a libel. There's nothing like that. If he becomes a Jew, he's like, all right, I'm all good. Everything's fine. You know, like, I feel bad for them. They should realize that there's a truth also. So you could say there's a bit of a truth in it, that they feel a Jew becomes a Christian, realizes he left the truth, and therefore he feels bad about whatever. Listen to this answer from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, remember those guys that were sitting there and were like, we want to accept the Torah, but they were too weak to raise their hand and said, we accept the Torah? They were too weak to do it? They were just too weak. They wanted, they were like, okay, whatever. They just didn't accept it. Those guys became the Gerim later on. The Jews, who were forced to say Nasa V'Nishma, even though they didn't want to, everybody else saying Nasa V'Nishma, they're like, Nasa V'Nishma. And they were forced to say something that they didn't want to, those guys became the Christians later on. They converted later on from Judaism to whatever religion they went to. When you're forced to do something, when you're being forced to do something, you feel a resentment. You feel resentment. I gotta go to class? Oh, stupid school. What do you expect? But when you're forced into it and somebody says, like, you must be here, then you feel a resentment toward them. Who are you to tell me what to do? The guys who were forced to say Nasa V'Nishma felt a resentment toward every other Jew around them, toward every other Jew. How come you guys have forced me to do this? And they hate them. And from then on, their neshama, when their neshama came back and became this soul that went off the derech, they came back and they said to them, you forced me to do this, I'm upset at you. I'm going to take this out against you. But the Christians that became Jews, they don't have anybody to blame but themselves. They could have spoken up. They had peer pressure and they didn't want to speak up. They were weak. They were weak. Nobody forced them not to speak up. That's their own fault. You guys are to blame for that. And they realize that. So they don't hate the Christians where they come from. They don't hate them. They realize that's something, that's our own problem. Okay, that's that itself. There's an HDL slum over here. I don't think it's going to be worth it to go into right now, just because it's absolutely... Okay, I have a call. You know what? Let's do the HDL slum. I would normally do the last eight psukim in the Torah. Last eight psukim in the Torah is an unbelievable board, but I'm afraid it's a little too complicated and it's going to take me too long. It's already almost five after. So that's going to be a little bit of a problem. I don't think... Let's not go into that right now. So instead, let's go into HDL slum. Pasuk, right in the beginning, in Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk says, Mimi no, on his right side, Eishdas Lamo. So, Eishdas, if you look in the Pasuk, is spelled all as one. It's one word, Eishdas. However, that's not how it's read. If you're about Kore, you can't read it as Eish Dus. You got to read it as Eish Dus. You got to read it as fire, law. You got to read it as that, as two separate words. You got to separate it from one another. Why? Why do you have to separate it? Why in the world is it written together, but it's read separately? Why would it be that way?
Wasn't everything written together?
You mean the letters together?
Or in the no spaces?
No, there was a space, just not the space that we know of today. Not like a bigger space. It was close together, but you could still definitely see a difference between the words.
Isn't there a verb, like anything that's Kree and Ksee, like anything that's Kree, is things that are a concept, which is a very divine concept, which should be, if we were on the level to understand, we would understand it. And Ksee is more like in a way that we could understand it. I just said
I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. That is 100% right. We're going to use that into this whole board. The Chassam Sofer is an awesome answer. He says, you ever notice how a person, like, sometimes... See, I can describe my own Rosh Shiva this way, but there are certain people like that. Did anybody here go to Ari Crown? Ari Crowners? Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
we're a massive minority. Massive minority. Anyway, I can't explain him, so I'm going to have to go with somebody else. There are certain people that... let's just say, like, on Rosh Hashanah. You see certain people that when they're davening, their davening is so, like... so soft and so, like, you know, you see them davening and they're like, and they're so, like, and they feel so bad, and you see them, like, their heart is broken and they're davening with such achna and everything, and they feel like so bad about what they did and everything, and you see them like so edel, so to speak, like, so, like, oh, like, I'm just a nice guy, and you see them walking around, especially on, like, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when they know they feel bad, and they're just like, oh, I'm so sorry, did I almost run into you, I almost walked 15 steps and ran into you over there, I'm so sorry, it's like that type of a guy. But then as soon as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are over, all of a sudden, let's just say, like, they're the type of learner, that they get down there, and they're like, all right, let's open up the Gemara. What are you talking about? That's not the Svar and Tosfos. Start screaming. You ever get that guy? I mean, I know a guy that honestly, they're just like, you know, he's like the most edel guy you've ever met, but I saw him stab his chavrusa with a pen. They got so upset. That's not shot! And stabbed him with a pen. Cool. I'm like, right after, he's like, I'm so sorry, I can't believe that just happened. You know? It's like, it's a crazy thing. We're Azin Shabumos. The Gemara in Beit Zan, Daf Chaf Hei says, we're Azin Shabumos. We're like a dog. We have such Azus. We have such brazenness. We're willing to do anything, but we're also very edel. We're like, we got the fire of Torah inside us. We have the fire of Torah. And Gemara and Tainus and Daf Dalid says that if you see a Talmud Chacham that gets angry, it's not him that's getting angry. It's the Torah inside him, the Eish inside him that's getting angry, that's getting him all angry. That's what's doing, because he wants to say over this Torah, but he can't do it. It's the fire inside him that's getting him upset. And then at times, you'll see him, it's just like water flowing. And just becomes like, you know, like a regular waterfall. Like, all going like, oh, there's a rock there, I'll go this way. You know? That's like what the water is like. Just bending to whatever, contorting to whatever space it's given. Just like, all right, I'll do that. It's fine, it's perfectly fine. A Jew can be both of those at the exact same time. You can find it by a businessman also. Just by a regular businessman. You know, a guy who, like, gets up and he learns for an hour in the morning and is sitting during a Daf Yomi Shir, doesn't speak up whatsoever. Just sits in and follows along. Then he gets into business. Like, as soon as he gets out of davening, calls on the phone. What do you mean you sold? What? What's wrong with you? Starts screaming at the guy, like, you know, that type of, it's all over the place. You see that by Jews all the time. It's just like we're both. We have both of it within us. You know what Pshat is? Because there's two types of Yira. One type of Yira is a Yira of fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Achna. Do you realize that you're nothing in comparison to Him? You're absolutely nothing in comparison to Him. And you just realize, like, your smallness, and you look at yourself. My wife showed me on the computer, she saw this Google Earth thing. You know how freaky that is? I sat there and looked at it, and I'm like, go all the way out, all the way in. And then you go all the way in, you look at your little house, and you're just like, oh, that's where I live. And then you go all the way out, and you're just like, I'm a little nothing. You go around, you're just like, that's Argentina. Go around, you feel like an absolutely nothing. You know, there's like one out of Achna that you just realize, like, I am such a minuscule part of absolutely nothing. I am like a tiny, tiny little bug in the middle of nowhere that people crush and just be like, I don't even care. Why should people care about me? But there's another thing that you realize that you have a little bit of guy, and you say, look, I'm a Jew. I was made for a purpose. My purpose is to be in this world and to work on certain things. And God is in charge of me. And God is listening to every word that I say. And when I daven straight to Him. There's a bit of gaiva involved. It's Yira, but on the gaiva that you have, you realize that you should fear God because He's even greater than me. And I'm greater than Him. So it's a Yira, but it's a different type of fear. So there's a fear out of Hachna, an ability to go in, and there's a fear out of something else. Thus, Eish Dos.
It's spelled out. If it's separate, it's fire of the law. It becomes a fire of the law within you. However, if you read it just together, it's Ashdos. Ashdos is the name of a river. Ashdos HaPisgah is a river of Pisgah. It refers to a river that goes together. So it's read and written the same way to teach you about Yiras Hashem. How to teach? Mimino Eishdas Lamo. And his right side, the reason why we're there is because we have this Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Yira, this is where it gets a little crazy. Yira is a Gematria 216. Okay. 216 times 2 because there's 2 Yiras is how much?
432.
Very good. 432 is the Gematria of Labas. Lamed, Beis, and Tuf. You know where Labas is mentioned? Labas is mentioned when Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah when he got the Torah, when he was spoken to at the Sneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him at Belabas Eish, because Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to come with these two types of Yira, put them both together, to be as angry as you can possibly get, to yell at them, Shimuna Amorim. I mean, Asela Zed, Notzi Lechamayim? You think I'm going to bring off stuff from this rock? But he was also the biggest Anav of all time. He had both them together, and he was perfect at that. He had both Yiras. When he came to that point, he had the Labas, the fire within him of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him, Belabas Eish. Appeared to him, and that Labas Eish showed him, okay, fine, now it's time for you to take over. You know what the Pshat is? How did Moshe Rabbeinu get to that level? Because Moshe Rabbeinu had a couple Gilgulim inside him. Moshe is known as Moshe. Shin is?
Shin.
Shase.
Oh, I knew this.
The guy who was born after Hevel and Kayin. And He is?
Hevel.
Hevel, right? He was from Shase and Hevel. Shase and Hevel came around. Now, if you take the Ne'elam of Moshe then, in other words, you take the hidden, the letters that are not there. We see a Mem, a Shin, and a Hey.
And the next, right? Letters next to him.
So you take those other letters that are missing. What's the letter next to Shin? Shase? No, in Shase.
Oh, Shase.
It's a Tav, right? The letters that are next to Hevel, we only have the Hey, Beis, and Lamed. Lamed, Beis, and Tav is Labas. Within Moshe Rabbeinu was the ability to have that Labas. Hevel and Shase were the two exact types of this. Hevel was the guy who was Machnia. The guy who was Machnia the Kayin. And gave in to Kayin and said, like, you're right, you're 100% right. Shase is the one that was the fiery guy. He had both of them within him. He took both those years, perfected himself, and became the Labas Eish to become there. Guys, don't go crazy. Don't go crazy. But the shot is straight out in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was Marames to it, the entire Torah. There's a Gemara in Brachos, I believe it's on Davav, but I don't remember. It says, David HaMelech, any mimer that he loved, he started off with Ashrei, and he ended off with Ashrei. Started it with Ashrei and ended it with Ashrei. Any like Mizmor Tehillim, like a Tehillim that starts with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei, was a Mizmor that he loved. So you would think the Torah would be something that you love. So you'd start it off with Ashrei and you'd end it off with Ashrei. What's the first word of the Torah?
Bereishis.
What's the last word of Torah?
Lamed.
Wait, what's the last word of Torah? Yisrael, right? Bereishis is Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yud. So those letters around is Ashrei. What are the letters are there?
Yeah.
Beis and Tuf. Voracious is Reishi. In the middle is Ashrei. There's Beis and Tuf. Last word in the Torah is Yisrael. Yisrael is Yud, Sin, Reish, and Aleph, which is Ashrei. And what's the last letter?
Lamed.
Lamed. Beis, Tuf, and Lamed. Is Labas. So within the entire Torah, the way to get all the Torah is Labas. There's a fear, the double fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for both reasons, out of Achna and out of Eish, brings you to be able to learn up the entire Torah. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had. Yeah. Okay.
Labas.
Then the last thing we're going to say, and we're going to end off with this, the Panach Raza points out, we end off with L'chol hayad hachazaka, for the entire strong hand, an unbelievable Rav Yashav on those words. L'chol amora hagadon, all the great fear. Asher asam Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. Oh, and by the way, hol gemara brachos, ma'ashem shol mim chalkim liyira. What does Hashem ask from you? Only to fear God. Kim liyira Hashem. Only for you to fear God. What does God ask from you? So the gemara asks, atum yira milsezu trasi. What, you think fear of God is an easy thing to do? Came in. The guy in Moshe, it was Moses Adrasi. By Moshe, it was an easy thing to do. Why was it so easy for Moshe? Because he had Labas within him. He had Hevel and Shase within him. That's the whole answer to the Gemara. That's what the Gemara means. By Moshe, it was an easy thing to do because he had the Labas within him. It's not unbelievable. Okay, whatever. Either way, the end of the Parsha. Asher also Moshe, that Moshe did Le'enei Kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all of the Jews. Why do we end off with those words? In the eyes of all the Jews. Unreal answer. This is a Rishon. But Rav Avigdor Miller was machavan to the same thing without seeing the Panach Raza. He couldn't have seen the Panach Raza. The Panach Raza is from the Geniza, from the Vatican, after the 1960s. So Rav Avigdor Miller, when he wrote his book, Rejoice O Youth, never saw this, but he was still machavan to the exact same thing. You know what the Pshat is? The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that the greatness of Judaism. is that our religion was done not in front of five people in a cave where they came out and said, like, he's alive, he's here, look, he came. And it wasn't done with just some guy who was having a bunch of seizures who came out and just be like, God just spoke to me, me. And I said, like, oh, we should, let's go all kill the Jews. It wasn't anything like that. It was not like any other nation in the entire world. Every single person in all of Klal Yisrael saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down at Sinai and gave them the Torah and told them, do you accept me as your God? And asked them, do you accept me as your God? It wasn't just one guy. It wasn't two guys. It wasn't three guys. It was every single person from B'nai Yisrael saw it. It was Le'enei Kol Yisrael, unlike anything else, any other religion. And that's the importance of what this Torah is. That this Torah is not just something. It's just not like another history book. It's not just another thing that said it's just like, oh, it's whatever, you know, and this is whatever. It's Le'enei Kol Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael saw all this. They all saw this. Everybody saw it. And thus we can believe it because it was done in front of absolutely everybody. It's different from anything else. That's the most important part of the Torah, that it was done in front of everybody. Okay, we're going to stop with that, but yeah, what's the